Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's go over here to our good close personal friend, Mr. Robert Green. He is in Anaheim, California, on his way into Fraser Foods in Buena Park. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Phil.
And Donald Sterling was on the stand here testifying, and what was the case?
Phil, Donald Sterling was on the stand protecting what is rightfully his basketball team, from a wife that is intent on taking control of that basketball team away from him. And she's using the oldest trick in the book, Phil. She is saying that the guy is mentally incompetent, that he is senile. And why does she think he's senile? Because the man has taken the money that he rightfully earned in this world. He has turned over much of it to her, has allowed her to have a life she probably wouldn't have had she not met him, has allowed her to go where she wants, do what she wants, drive whatever car she wants, and all he asked was to have the life that he wanted, which was with this young woman, this Viviano, or Stiviano, I think is her name.
V. Stiviano,
to have the life that he desired with this young woman, to settle down with her and to raise a family. And I realize he's an old man, but a man can always dream, Phil. And Donald Sterling has worked so hard in his life that he has the money that would enable him to dream these dreams. He asked that of his wife. And what she returned with is, it's not enough. I want more and more and more and more and more and more. And you have publicly humiliated me with this woman that I don't particularly think is attractive, and that, okay, if you want to go for it, that's it. Her jealousy is what's really driving this. And I think it's sad.
Bob, this is Margaret Gray. What do you mean her jealousy? You're saying that because he has this affair with this woman, this prompted all of this?
I think it has. I think it's a lot of it. I'm not saying this is the first affair he's had.
All right, well, I was going to mention that, or I was going to ask that. This guy, as you mentioned, lots of money, probably lots of women. I don't doubt a cat with this kind of bread just has to stand there in a luxury suite someplace, and he's bound to just stand there with a glass of water in his hand, maybe, and he's bound to attract the attention of plenty of women throughout the course of an evening. So this can't possibly be the first time.
Well, you know, Phil, it's a very interesting thing, what you just said. I was about ready to agree with you, and then I started to think about it. I think you're making him look like a guy that's like a John, just standing in an alley waiting for the cheapest thing to come along, throw a couple of dollars at it, and go into a back room somewhere, lay on a filthy mattress someplace, have it hike its skirt up, hold your nose and just do it, and that's what you're making him look like?
No, I'm not making him look that way.
What are you talking about, Green?
Maybe, what am I talking about?
No, I'm not making it look that way. I never even approached that kind of a description. I said that the guy is wealthy enough to have had a lot of girlfriends, so why would she be upset with this one?
Well, I think she is upset with this one, because I don't think he's had that many girlfriends. I don't think he's standing at a street corner waiting for something to come along.
Yeah, I know, and go to a back room with a filthy mattress and hike her skirt up, and he holds his nose, and he does it. You think that Donald Sterling, with the money he's got, that's the kind of world he operates in?
I think he's been driven to that kind of world by a wife like this and by a media represented by people like you that won't let the man have the life that he wants to have. Look at the young lady that he was with. Look at the young lady that has caused this woman to want to steal, okay?
Well, but...
Steal, just to use your terminology, Margaret, and the cadence that you use when you're making a point, to allow this woman to steal outright half of his whole basketball team, and God knows whatever else. This woman has forced this man into a world where he has to take second, third, fourth best. He's got to take dibs on something that's 9th, 10th, 11th in line, because he is no longer allowed to operate in the free, open sunshine of life. A man with all this money, this wife stands there ready to steal. Now, I don't know about you, Phil, but there are a few things in this world that I like less, all right? Okay?
Yeah, less.
Yes, not better, less.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, okay, nobody was asking you. Well, excuse me, no one was asking you, bud, but thank you very much.
All right, few things in this world that you like less than...
Yeah, there are a few things in this world that I like less than a thief. A thief. There are a lot of things in this world that can really get under my skin, but nothing more so, even a murderer, even someone that takes someone's life, may get a pass from Bob Green, but someone that's a thief? No. No, I will hunt them down, and I will make them pay. Me, I, Bob Green. I'm not even Donald Sterling. I have close to his money, but I don't have exactly the dollar amount that he has, okay? So technically, he's wealthier than me. Technically. And I want to underline that, technically.
Okay, great. He's technically wealthier than you, and what?
And, you know, you're starting to piss me off.
Hey, Bob, you're starting to piss me off by not getting to the point here. So Donald Sterling's wife has got it in for him, wants to steal his team from him, wants to steal his corporations from him, wants to steal basically all of the material benefit that he's amassed for himself over the course of time. And the proof of that, you're saying, is the woman that he was with, this V. Stiviano.
Absolutely.
How so?
Well, I don't think it takes a brain surgeon, Phil. You take a look at this woman. This is not what I call creme de la creme. She's not what I call the top of the line. I would say she's really way down. I mean, we all know what a beautiful woman looks like, and she ain't it.
Well, I think that's really relative, and I don't think that's anything for us to judge. I think the point that we're going to make here with you, Bob, if you want to make the point, is how is it that she's going to get this team away from him? Is he mentally incompetent?
Yeah, now there's a good question. You know Donald Sterling. What do you think?
Well, what do you think? No, of course he isn't mentally incompetent. He is absolutely competent. And for Shelley Sterling to think that she's going to take over this man's multi-billion dollar properties and corporations, and she's going to run it, man. I've heard some hot ones before, but that one is it's a real laugh riot, and I think that Phil, in this world, things are a lot more complicated than they look on the cover of a magazine. Because then you have to go into the office. Let's just say she wins this case, and she becomes the one who runs the L.A. Clippers.
All right, and let's be clear here. She wants control of the L.A. Clippers so she can sell them to Steve Ballmer, the retired, I believe, Microsoft executive, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, double check on that. It's either Microsoft or it's Googler. I'm not sure. Google.
Google, not Googler.
Are you kidding me?
I mean Google, yeah.
Yeah, it's Microsoft.
Well, gotta double check it.
Yeah, you do that, man.
Well, you go ahead and double check that, bud, but it is Microsoft, I think. Although there actually is a search engine called Googler, believe it or not, but they're not doing too hot because they thought they could ride on Google's back, and Google didn't even bother to sue them for copyright infringement. They're just letting them sit and rot because that's even more embarrassing. But here's the thing. Donald Sterling and the wife, Shelley Sterling, she wants control of his corporations. Okay, but there's a big, big difference between going into a courtroom, posing for the photographers before you go in, flipping the hair and putting on extra perfume and giving a comment to whoever is standing there like a vulture waiting to suck a little blood out of this already bleeding and dying corpse called the life of Donald Sterling. And there she is standing there waiting to step over the corpse into the body, into the safety deposit room. Stepping over the bleeding corpse.
All right, yes, I understand, Bob. You're really making a very compelling case here about how Donald Sterling is being messed up. But the question is...
No, I know what your question was. Your question was, is she capable of taking over these corporations? And the answer to that question is a very, very simple no. Of course, she is not capable of taking over these corporations. Because there's a big difference, as I said, between flipping your hair, putting on perfume, stepping over the bleeding corpse of Donald Sterling and going in where the safety deposit boxes are, opening them up, getting all the jewels and the cash and the diamonds like that broad did in Casino. You remember that movie, Casino?
All right, Bob, yes. Yes, I understand.
Is he going to be okay?
He's a little bit on edge today, Bob.
I mean, God, Phil.
I understand. I want you to get to the point here.
The point being... that when you go into the big office where the chair is and you sit in the leather chair and you have to sign paper to make things happen, that's a lot different than flipping your hair for People magazine, stepping over a bleeding corpse. You know,
going into where the safety deposit boxes are and pulling out all the cash and jewels like that broad did in Casino. I understand that.
Exactly. So she's going to go in there. She wins control of these corporations, and she, you have to go in, and you have to have a board meeting for to figure out how you are going to run company with big, tall men who bounce ball. Okay?
All right, so you're talking about her like she's a blithering idiot.
I don't believe I use those words at all. I know her. She's a very nice lady.
All right, yeah, hold on for a minute.
Nice lady. He just made... Is he there?
We put him on hold. We're going to be right back with Robert Green.
He just made her sound as if she was a fumbling, gibbering, drooling...
Nice lady.
Nice lady, yes.
All right, we're going to be back here on the Phil Landry Show with Robert Green and more of his discussion with us on Donald Sterling and the trial that is happening right now in Los Angeles as to his competence, as to whether or not this guy is... You know, whether or not this guy is capable of running a basketball team or ought to be committed to a nut bin. Here is Opeth. Oh, yeah. Cup of Eternity.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is technically metal music, so I think it'll be acceptable to a lot of the old white men you have.
Let's not be cruel. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Cup of Eternity.
Is that an old one?
I don't know whether it's an old one or not. But it sounds very spiritual and religious, and since we do have the Word Network on here.
Then you have the Word Network and an eternal word.
Well, we got Catholic Mass, and I don't know what it is about me, but I've just decided that this is what I want to have on a TV. When I got the CNN and HBO, Fox...
No, Mr. HBO, that's not a news channel.
What's up with you these days?
I'm fine. When I have this, I don't know, I'm probably preoccupied by a number of things. This has been a very busy summer, I don't mind telling you. It's a super busy summer. By the way, tonight we're going to be on Marin, and that will be at 10 o'clock on the Independent Film Channel, and we will show you a clip on Phil TV from that. A little bit later on in the program or in the podcast here today. Can you turn that off, bud?
That's Mr. Green.
That ain't Mr. Green. That's Opeth.
Oh.
I think that's... is this you, Bob?
Yeah, this is Mr. Green here.
Okay, all right. Getting back to Robert Greene and the discussion of Donald Sterling, and we will take some phone calls at 855-500-7445. Donald Sterling has been on the stand in a trial that is to determine his competence, his further competence in running this basketball team. Now, this is a guy that, made the statements that he made. He was banned from the NBA because of his attitudes towards minority people. And the team's workforce is like a majority of black people, and yet people are surprised and they're shocked and they're angered that this guy can have his membership in the NBA taken away from him, you know?
Well, what's wrong with that? I mean, you're disagreeing with that?
Yeah, of course I am, because the NBA is not the United States of the NBA is an enterprise that he signed on to with certain provisos that he affixed his name to, with conditions. Here is how you can be a member of this here basketball league with these different conditions. You revoke your right to the franchise if you don't do this, that, and something else. Now, he's going to turn around and sue and probably try and tie things up, but while he's suing, the question is he going to be able to tie things up?
Right now, Phil, he's got this wife that got on the stand after forcing him to go out with something like, I don't mean to sound like I'm not a gentleman. I am. I do consider myself to be a gentleman. But what Shelley Sterling forced Donald Sterling to go out with...
What is this, forced?
Yes, I'd like to know what you mean by forced.
What do I mean by forced? She's on his back morning, noon, and night about how she's going to have half of this, she's going to have half of that. The guy's got to go underground instead of being out there in the sunshine to say, look, I'm a wealthy man, I'll go out and date with whoever I want, and my wife's got enough money so that she can just keep her, mouth... I'm sorry to say, I mean, keep the big fat mouth... Not fat bum, but keep her fat mouth shut, or keep her mouth shut, and I can go.
And he can go out, and he can date, and he can bed anything he wants, and then come back home, and bring that into his home.
Well, I doubt very seriously, Ms. Gray, if Donald Sterling and Shelley Sterling are still, getting down and get down tonight. I don't think that's happening.
You mean having intimate relations?
Yes, that's... Wow, I mean, you think you're so special that you thought of that?
No, I'm just using terms that I think are a little bit more appropriate.
Well, I'm using terms that I'm not saying anything inappropriate, am I?
No, you're not. Okay, so you're using words that you use to describe this. But you don't think that Donald Sterling and Shelley Sterling are having intimate relations?
No, I do not.
All right, so that's fine, and that's all well and good, I suppose. But the fact is... this man is still, cheating on his wife, and that's none of my business either. What my question is this: how do you draw the conclusion that because the guy is going out with this woman, Stiviano, and she's not particularly attractive in your book, that this was caused by Shelley Sterling, other than the fact that she's on his back morning, noon, and night?
Well, that's it, because he's got to go underground. Yeah, he's got to go underground to find, and I don't mean to be offensive, Miss Gray, to find the tang.
Oh, to find the tang, huh? But you don't mean to be offensive. What a... You know something, Bud? You are a miracle of modern dumb. You really are.
Well, look, Bud's right. I mean, if the guy's got to go underground, and maybe I wouldn't use the word, but if he's got to go further underground to find what he needs to find, and he's coming up with something like Stiviano, obviously Shelley Sterling is having a major impact on his ability to go out and to, as we like to say, us guys, to walk the walk, talk the talk, and lap the lap dance.
I've never heard that one.
Oh, is that right? Yes.
Well, is this something you men say?
I've never heard it.
Mr. Henry, I would appreciate it very much if you'd not stick the knife in and sink it all the way up to the hilt so quickly.
I've never heard that term.
You never heard that about walk the walk, talk the talk, and lap up at a lap dance.
I said lap up at a lap dance. I said walk the walk, talk the talk, and lap it,
That is absolutely vulgar.
Miss Gray, Phil asked me about this woman, and I'm trying to give a straight answer, and at the same time I'm trying to tell you that the situation, I think, is one that Shelley Sterling has concocted herself. I think this woman created this problem. I think she wants this problem because she can then get control over this basketball team much more quickly.
All right, let's go to a phone call here, 855-500-7445. And we have Bob Green with us here from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, as he's talking to us about Shelley Sterling and Donald Sterling and the trial that is going on right now to determine Donald Sterling's competence to actually run this basketball team. Austin in Lancaster, California, go ahead.
Listen, Mr. Green, I'm 100% behind you, and I'm 100% not behind Mr. Henry. In the comments, and if I could make my opinion known here.
Go ahead.
Mr. Green was saying that because Shelley Sterling has been very controlling with Donald Sterling, he has had no choice but to date this woman, and slowly it can drive you out of your mind. If I'm being clear.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Austin. That is true. When a man has to go underground to seek out the really quality female companionship, and all he could come home with is this woman that stuck the knife in, twisted it, broke it off, then took another knife, stuck it in, twisted it, broke it off, and basically was just going through the steak drawers, going to the knife drawer, looking for the steak knives, and by the time she got done with Donald Sterling, he had a whole bunch of steak handles sticking out of his back. See, that's the thing that I don't understand. And
wait a minute, man. So the guy's got to go underground to find a woman that's going to stick the knife in his back because you guys have not made the case clearly to me that this is all Shelley Sterling's fault.
Ms. Ritter, I think it's Shelley Sterling's fault because she forced this.
Right, we're trying to say that she forced this by the controlling nature of the woman.
Yes, but there is nothing that says a man has to go out and cheat on his wife.
That's my point.
Well, that may be your point, and there is nothing that says he has to go out and cheat on his wife. But when you have all of that money, and Donald Sterling is worth God knows how many billions, then, you know, all of those rules sort of go out the window. You're talking about a moral play here. I'm talking about the facts. And the facts are these. He's got money. He's going to go out and find something sweet. He couldn't. She's on him morning, noon, and night. He had to go find some woman with a kisser on her. Well,
yeah.
Excuse me, Austin. I don't know what you look like, but you'd probably consider yourself very fortunate to have that young woman.
I mean, yeah, I would consider myself fortunate. But a man who has money like Bob Sterling or Donald Green.
My name is Bob Green.
I'm sorry. A man that's got money like Donald Sterling and Bob Green. I would consider myself fortunate. I'd never be with a woman that good-looking in a million years. And I'd give anything. I'd give anything. Don't tell her what I would do. I would certainly make her a part of my life and give her the property rights to the things, what I have, my community property, etc. And she would probably laugh at me and say, you know, get out of my car and kick me on down the highway. But for a man like Donald Sterling and even this gentleman, Mr. Green,
what do you mean a man like, and even a man like this guy, Mr. Green? I can tell you, sir, that what I go out with...
Can we get off the topic of whether this woman is good-looking enough or not, and whether or not Donald Sterling got, you know, hosed by his wife because she's on his life, in his life, morning, noon, and night?
Nice save.
Yeah, thank you. So that means he's got to go out and date this woman who's got a kisser on her, et cetera, et cetera. This is, and whether or not Mr. Remarca, you date her, or whether or not Mr. Green, she rates in your world is really beside the point. This guy, Donald Sterling, may not be competent to stand to own this team. That's why he is on trial today. His mind is coming unglued, according to his wife and according to her attorneys. Her attorney, in fact, was heard to say today, I saw the clip from yesterday as they were giving the post-proceeding press conference. He said that this guy was a tyrant, that this guy was a raging tyrant, you know, this was indicative of his behavior. The behavior in the courtroom was indicative of the kind of guy he was.
Well, what do you think a lawyer is going to say? And that right there, that tells you right away what Shelley Sterling thinks of her husband, the guy that bestowed upon her a life she never would have had. If she'd never met Donald Sterling, I can tell you, if she had never met Donald Sterling, she'd be sitting at a country club someplace, probably one of these gated communities in Palm Springs with some old guy that's a heating and plumbing guy, you know, a guy that owned an electrical firm. And they got their big $800,000 condo out there, or $900,000 condo, and they go off to the dances on Saturday night, and they play pinochle in the locker room, and that's what her life would be. That's what Shelley Sterling's life would be.
That's not a bad life, Mr. Green.
Oh, really? You know, okay, fine. You go ahead and take, you know, would you live that way?
I wouldn't live that way. I am not I'm not putting myself in the category of other women. I'm different, all right?
One of these days you have to tell me how you're different, okay?
Look, wouldn't you like to know?
Hold on, guys. I don't want to get into a discussion about lifestyles here. So Shelley Sterling, because of all this bread, her life has been changed, and she's shanking him in the back, and so is this... So you're taking his side on this one 100%.
Yeah, I'm taking his side. What did you think?
Well, that was pretty obvious.
I know that, but I didn't think that you'd take his side on every single solitary thing, even if it's nutty. Like, you know what? Shelley Sterling forced him underground, so he's got to go out with this woman, Stiviana, with a kisser on her like dot, dot, dot.
Well, you about said that. I mean, there's nothing for me to add, Mr. Henry. I think this has been a pretty easy one for me. You've been making my points. You sound like you're upset about something, and because of that, I've been making the easy shots. I've been getting the easy points, and I'm like on a slip and slide going downhill, you know?
Yeah, but if you're wearing pants.
What?
If you're going on a slip and slide downhill, go up the crack.
Thank you very much.
Political, Bob. I like that.
I didn't like... That was typical of Bud Dickman. Very crude.
No, actually, I did like it, too, because that got rid of him.
Getting rid of him is one thing, Phil, but Bud Dickman telling a man that he's going to have slip and slide up his crack is something else entirely. I don't approve, and I continue to make these protests.
Yeah, and you continue to make these protests, which is fine, so long as we don't turn every bloody show into a violent escapade between you and Bud Dickman. Let's listen to Common now on the Phil Henry Show. As we take this break, thank you very much, Bud, Bird Green, or whatever the hell. And we sure hope that Donald Sterling can find some better-looking girlfriends down the road, as well as if he is so qualified, retain ownership of the team. But I doubt that sincerely. He sounds like a mental case. He is a raging jackball. And God bless him. Go Clippers. Niggas gotta eat. We gonna do it. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to talk about the TSA ruling. Now, this is an interesting thing. What they're gonna have people do is turn on cell phones, turn on laptop computers to make sure that they are not battery capable or battery battery friendly, or that they're not, you know, the batteries don't work. Is that essentially what it is, Jay?
Well, my understanding, Phil, on reading a ruling, and I had just had read the ruling this morning, was that the Citizens Auxiliary Police and the information that we received is that the CAP got from a TSA that you will have to be turn on the battery, and if it doesn't come on and the battery didn't turn on, the battery don't work. And that means that, of course, your computer is not going to work or your cell phone is not going to work. So the TSA at that time will say, your cell phone is not going to work. I'm sorry. Hold on, Phil. All right. Thank you.
What was that?
Yeah, what happened?
I have a little bit of a Bell's palsy condition. This one's not Bell's palsy, but it's something that those of us who come from Baltimore or who swallow L's, we get a thing called L's palsy, not Bell's palsy, and so I have to go through. It's an exercise that I have to be assisted with Sub-Commander Gleason. He puts his finger between my lips. Go ahead, do it. And that loosens it up.
I see.
Are you kidding?
No, sir, I'm not kidding. Why would I kid? What I'm trying to do is get through this report this morning without another, you know, attack of L's palsy. Now, as I was saying, the TSA allows for you to come through the line with your That's better.
If this is what this interview is going to be like, I think we're going to have to...
What the hell? I was in the kitchen and I heard this. It sounds like some real jive gibberish. And,
General Shaw is Jay Sanis. How are you this morning, sir?
Well, Jay, how are you? What the hell's going on?
I have a little bit of L's palsy, and so to help me out with it.
Oh, I see. All right.
Do you know what this condition is?
Yeah, we had a few guys in there when I was in Nam come down with this. It's something that guys from Baltimore and western Pennsylvania, the heat does it, and oftentimes mosquito bites, any kind of a mosquito bite, doesn't have to be infectious. Humidity, proximity to lakes, this kind of a thing will cause it to come on. We had guys that came down with it, and they came up with what was called the Scribner application. The Scribner application is simply putting your finger between the lips of the guy that's suffering the attack and have him go boo like that. So here, Phil, I'll do it to you.
Don't do it to me.
Well,
all right. No, that's all, Phil.
All right, go ahead.
So, yes, so the TSA said that they will be checking computers and checking cell phones to see if the battery works. If the battery does not work, then at that time the TSA will tell the people getting on the plane, your battery doesn't work, your phone's not going to work on the other side, and your computer's not going to work on the other side. I mean, so what's that about? And people will say, what are you going to say when you find out that your battery doesn't work? You're going to say what?
I'm going to say I'll charge it on the other end.
Yeah, and as a TSA worker, then I say, well, what do you mean you're going to charge it on the other end? Everybody knows that when you get off a plane, the first thing everybody does is turn on a computer or they turn on a cell phone.
Yeah, but they also have charging stations at the airports.
What? Are you trying to tell me?
What are we talking about here?
Are you trying to tell me, Phil, that you're on your way to Paris, you get off the plane, you want to go to the hotel, you want to have a champagne, and maybe, you know, take your wife down to have some of the snails and the different things they serve, and you're, instead of doing that, you're going to go to a charging station, hang around in the airport, and charge... Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, what's the point? What if a guy wants to... What are you talking about?
Yes, Dave, we're talking about the security aspect of a powerless, battery-operated laptop or cell phone.
Yes, exactly. And the security of that is if someone is mentally unfit or mentally perturbed or mentally angled. And when we say mentally angled, most people mentally, if you're healthy, you're going straight ahead. But if you angle it and your mind is angled off, that's when you got worry. And one of the things that tells us that someone is mentally angled is if they take a cell phone or a computer on an airplane ride and the battery doesn't work. And you're going on a long airplane ride. And the person's going to go, yeah. And your battery doesn't work. And you're going to go at the airport there. Have you ever been to Charles de Gaulle Airport, Mr. Henry? It's Orly Airport. You've been at Orly Airport?
Yes, I've been to them. What about it?
Wow. You know.
Well, look, Sanders, we're trying to figure out what you're saying. You said you had L's palsy. We were dealing with that.
I do, and I'm doing pretty good with it. Right now, Mr. Henry, he's making it complicated. And what I'm trying to do is tell you that if someone flies across America, across the Atlantic Ocean, all the way from America to Paris, and they have a cell phone battery that's dead, they have a laptop battery that's dead, that guy's got a brain that angled out. It just angled off. It's like hitting a golf shot. It's like hitting a golf shot and hooked into a teeny kid area, you know.
All right. So you're saying that the mental condition of an individual that would travel with a battery that is dead is what is called brain angling or hooking the tee shot.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mentally, what you've done is you've hooked your tee shot right into an area where little tiny kids are playing with sailboats. Now, think about that, Mr. Henry.
Is this some kind of a security term?
No, Bob. I've never heard that, but I heard you talk about it, Jay.
Wait, hold on for a minute. You're talking about someone who's mentally deranged.
Not mentally deranged, no.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about, General, if you listen to me, I'm talking about I'm Tom Dam Boy Scout Jamboree. Hold on.
Will you knock that jazz off, man, or I'll come over there and tear your lips off. Now, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about, General, about a mind that is angled.
He's not talking about someone that is mentally deranged. He's talking about a guy that's off. All right, so the guy's off. What about it?
Well, that would absolutely present a threat to the aircraft.
You got a guy whose mind is a hook shot to where teeny little children are playing with a sailboat?
What? What are you talking about?
He's talking, Phil.
Oh, hold on for a minute. Let's take a break. I just turned myself down.
Yeah, that's the best idea you've had.
Let's take a break. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We're talking here with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police about the TSA ruling that says you must surrender all cell phones and laptops if the battery is dead.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico.
Dr. Wayne Barlow here. If you suffer from L's palsy, as you've just heard Jay Sanis demonstrate, we have the greatest L's palsy clinic in America. We're located in Moore Park, California, with offices in Calabasas. Bring in that ailing family member with L's palsy. We use the Scribner application. Yes, it sounds completely mental. It sounds almost silly. It sounds as if the individual doing that is a speed freak, has problems with hallucinogenics, is schizophrenic, and yet what you're dealing with is a doctor who has studied for 8, maybe 9, maybe 10 months the L's palsy and Scribner application. Here is Dr. Wartner. He only speaks in that language, and he has cured countless thousands. Yes, it's the L's Palsy Clinic, Moore Park, Calabasas, and now in Newganton.
Oh, thank God you have an office in Newganton, Doctor.
Yes, we've just opened it.
Oh, thank God.
Where's Newganton? Please don't ask that question. You make me look like I'm incompetent and I don't know what I'm buying airtime for. Don't worry about where Newganton is. Just worry about where you are. Shit, okay. Shit. Margaret, you want to do the...
Yes, I would like to do the honors here. My throat isn't warmed up.
Holy Christ, you sound like a whole hillside of them.
How dare you?
A hillside of what?
Three guesses and the first two don't count. It's got four legs and it looks, it's a lot smarter than it looks.
What? A cat?
Fuck it.
All right. I'm assuming you mean cow.
Yeah, well, there you go. Give the man a cigar.
All right, thank you. There's Oz and the Oz Boys, Black Sabbath. And that one's called Paranoid, and why not? Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is with us. We also take some of your phone calls here at 855-500-7445 as we continue to talk here about the TSA and a new ruling that essentially says you will have to surrender any cell phone or laptop that has a dead battery. Jay is saying that is because anyone that travels with a laptop or a cell phone with a dead battery is mentally angled or has some kind of the hook shot of the brain into an area.
You know, see, this bull crap about a hook shot going into where little tiny kids are playing with a sailboat, what the hell does that mean?
All I'm trying to say here, Gerald, is that this. Imagine if you were on a tee at a golf area, okay, is what I'm talking about, and you hit a golf shot and it hooked all of a sudden, right, and it was a screaming line, it was a screamer, right into a residential section where a little teeny kid was pushing a sailboat onto a poon.
You mean a sailboat onto a pond?
Yeah, I'm sorry, a sailboat onto a pond. Would you call that mentally angled?
What do you mean mentally angled? If a guy hit a golf shot,
are you saying that a man's brain is like a guy hitting the brain?
The brain, yeah, the brain goes where that golf shot goes.
Well, then just say...
The brain goes where the golf shot goes? I don't think so.
Oh, the brain goes where the golf shot goes. Hold on, no, seriously, Phil.
Margaret.
No, seriously, I like that. Jay, listen. Oh, the brain goes where the golf shot goes. The brain goes where the golf shot goes. Brain goes where the golf shot goes. Whoops, there's a dead kid. The ball went through the...
All right.
Well, Phil, I'm a mother, you know.
I know that, but we don't need songs.
Well, look at Phil. I was going to call you General. Where's the General?
I'm right here, Santos.
All right, General and Phil, or General Phil, or Phil General. I'm talking about you.
How about Phil and the General?
Well, that sounds gay.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like a Saturday morning cartoon comic or something, you know.
What does?
Phil and the General.
Go ahead, Jay.
What I'm saying is that the mental condition of anyone carrying a laptop or cell phone with a burned out or a dead battery, the brain angled out, it hooked left and angled right into a teeny kid. So what do you want me to say? What do you call that?
The guy's mentally unsound. Is that work?
Is that work? Get a load of him.
Phil, the grammar, my God.
Yeah, Mr. Graham, I usually expect a lot more.
Hold on for a minute, Phil.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to this, Alcott, The Next Step. It's such a thrill to be with you. This is Dr. Ed Alcott. And we are originating this morning from Wampaw, New York, here on the campus of Wampaw University and our affiliated clearinghouse, where we have the Alcott Bookstore and the Communal Think. In Alcott, there is no such thing as a think tank per se. Everything is singular and original and originating. And so when we say it is the Alcott think, it is as one is thinking. To put it another way, one can be a human being or is one human being. Think of that as an active principle in conjunction with your being, that is, moving and breathing and interacting with other humans, thinking, sitting, walking, studying, creating. This is our being. Good morning, and also with me, and I saw you smiling, Sugarman Davies joins us. Sugarman.
Good morning.
Sugarman, you always have a smile. Why is that?
Well, it's a very simple question, but one that I think people becoming aware of Alcott, The Next Step, would probably enjoy finding the answer to. And I am smiling because not only am I Alcott originating and I am Alcott aware, having achieved Next Step, but I'm a preserve, which I know you're going to get into.
We are going to get into. Sugarman Davies is one of the most humble, and if you've been with us over the last couple of episodes here of the Alcott, The Next Step, do you know that in podcasting they call these episodes?
Yes, I saw that, and it strikes me as quite helpful. I'm charmed by that, so that it's an episodic journey.
It is an episodic journey. I don't think anything replies more readily or heartily to anything like the word episode to Alcott, The Next Step. In this episode, well, in prior episodes, we talked about ego, Sugarman.
Yes.
And ego is that which we try to diminish to almost a non-existent state. You cannot diminish ego to complete non-existence, because then you extinguish yourself, and that's not the goal of Alcott, is it?
No, Alcott, The Next Step, although at some point we do extinguish or we dissipate the life force and we become steam, and steam, not in the sense of a steaming kettle, but we do become, instead of the human that we were and the ever-diminished ego that we were, once the ego has extinguished, we are vapor or steam or a scent. It depends on the life you've lived. If it was not a good life, you become an odor, a foul odor.
Yes.
And you become as a stink. The word is rather harsh.
Well, we're not saying the human, because we do not acknowledge in Elkhart any negative human condition. We very gladly describe in human terms, in the terms of the world, how we live, but to us it's not negative.
That is absolutely right. So if you are extinguished and you and you become, or you assume the role, or assume the form, I meant to say, of a malodorous existence, you are a malodorous scent. You're a
foul odor.
You are a foul odor. You are not foul in and of yourself, but you stink, using that word in its raw, rough, and what we call the cabbage form of a word.
Yes, the cabbage form, meaning the roughage of the word.
Yes. And when you are a stink, and it's as if, for instance, Dr. Ed, and by the way, as I speak to Dr. Ed, I acknowledge that he is Elkhart North.
And you are Elkhart Preserve.
Correct. And even though I am of a far higher level than Elkhart North, I speak to Elkhart North as if he belongs in the same sphere as I do.
And understand that in normal society, if you would, or the way that the world works, I would not only not be allowed in the same room with Elkhart Preserve, but I would have my life taken from me for ever having the temerity, for ever having the gumption.
They call it chutzpah in the Jewish community.
Yes, chutzpah, Yiddish.
Yes.
I would have my life taken from me by either decapitation or disembowelment. Now, those things sound quite gruesome, but that only is to illustrate how far below Elkhart Preserve Elkhart North is.
Yes, and perhaps it's time that I explain what Elkhart Preserve is.
I'd like to do that, but I'd like to take a break. Well, no, we're not ready for a break. All right, Jeffrey Purdeen, who helps us produce our show here from Wampa University, and he's a member of the student radio station management council here at Jeffrey?
WWAM.
WWAM, the Wampa station.
Yes, that's the Wampa student station.
Yeah, and we play a lot of...
Very good. Well, I want to listen to the Wampa, and I know afterwards they're going to have a wonderful array and selection of the music that they play. I think they're going to have the Tiger Lilies in for an interview. Have you heard them?
No, I have not.
The Tiger Lilies are a group. I first heard them interviewed a while back, and they do a castrato type of rock performance. It's very difficult to explain.
Oh, it sounds fascinating.
Yes, as if they have been gelded, but they sing at a very high pitch. But let me continue on. Elkhart Preserve, once you have been put up, jarred, and preserved for the winter months, you then ripen and season, you sweeten, and you become floral to the sense, to the taste, through the epiglottal area, and finally you are absorbed through the lining of the lower colon. You do not exit the body as waste. You become a part of the body. This is Elkhart Preserve.
Yes. I have been jarred, I have been put up, and I've been preserved. So there are three steps that the mother father takes.
Can we get into the specifics? Are you now in a preserve?
That I cannot comment on.
All right. And I said that, as you know, Elkhart Preserve, because I want people to understand the essence of Elkhart, that we move between these states, don't we?
We absolutely do, Dr. Ed, and that's a very fine point to make, because I, as Elkhart Preserve, sit before you, a man I'm wearing... What am I wearing?
Well, you're wearing Bermuda shorts, and you have a T-shirt on. It's a Cabo San Lucas T-shirt.
That's right.
And you have on sandals, and you have on some zinc oxide on your nose.
That is correct.
And you look like you're, for all the world, you're getting ready to go out into the hot sun.
I am planning, absolutely. I'm planning a trip later on up into the Adirondacks to Speculator, and we're going to do some swimming and water skiing.
All right. So you in this state that I see are a man with zinc oxide on his nose, Bermuda shorts.
Well, these are not, these are actually board shorts.
All right, those are swimming trunks.
They're swimming trunks.
And a Cabo San Lucas T-shirt, and you have on your sandals. But
I have been jarred, I've been canned, I am now a preserve.
And you can be, and again, please follow us very carefully here on Ellicott, the next step, because this is this is what we call prime. This is prime doctrine, and it's nothing to frighten you, but it does involve understanding the different states we move through. So you have been jarred or canned. Do you know which?
I have been. That's a question. Now, that's interesting. That's a question that begins to go over the line into the superfluous, which you know is spiritual death.
Yes, and I did that for a reason.
Right.
To let people know that if you presume to mock Ellicott by asking, are you jarred or are you canned? Ha ha. Spiritual death awaits. And that means the ego is diminished, even smaller than something that might be lodged in the nostril of a dog or cat. You are something that is inhaled, and yes, the predictable becomes manifest. You are evacuated through the bowels of a lower animal.
That is correct.
Well, there is an awful lot, but it is, and I imagine it's very confusing. Now, Ellicott Preserve, you give lessons, don't you, in these different states?
Well, I do, Ellicott North. I give three classes a week here at Wampaw University, which is the Ellicott, the Next Step headquarter, educational headquarter. Headquarters, singular, not headquarters. Headquarter. Because we acknowledge that only one quarter of our head is really aware of what's going on from one day to the next. That doesn't mean only one quarter of our head recognizes Ellicott. That would be something so small as to be insulting to the Godhead and the Mother Father to talk about. But only one quarter of our head even recognizes that we're awake and walking around. And that's what we do here at Wampaw University.
And so you teach three classes a week, and tell me the nature, or if you would, the topic of these classes.
The first class, Ellicott North, is on the canning process. The second class is on the preservative process. And the third class is on what I can be, and again, I'm putting this in quotes, what I can be spread on.
All right. This is fascinating to me, and it's one of the reasons that I became attracted to Ellicott, the Next Step, and eventually became a persificator and entered into the cushioning, and then I became a non-facilitator, a facilitator, and I moved my way up through the steps because I wanted to understand the steps on the way to being a preservative. You are spread on toast we should tell people that this is figurative again.
Yes, you're looking at a man in shorts, a T-shirt, zinc oxide, and to go even further, my truck is parked outside.
So you drive a truck?
I drive a truck, and I have a 12-pack of Bud Light. I'm going to drink it all by my time.
This is very unusual for a preserve to cough.
Yes. I'll tell you what it is. The impurity of the university today. I don't know what happened. Was there something that happened in this room last night?
I don't know, but this is a studio that the students use, and we will have to talk to them.
I think we should, because something impure, and we don't judge. If one of the students came in last evening to this studio and did something unnatural, that is when we talk about impurity. We're not talking about illegality or immorality.
We're talking about unnaturality.
Yes.
So something unnatural happened in this studio last night between, I'm sensing, students, and I'm sensing it was unnatural between primarily male students. All right. That is not to say that Elcott judges any sexual act as being unnatural, other than those that would harm or be hurtful.
Yes, so homosexuality is not prohibited in Elcott, nor is heterosexuality any other act such as that. But the unnaturalness between male students, it could have had something to do with an act which we would deem to be unnatural and impure, and that interferes with my preservative process. Because right now, I've been canned and put up for the winter, even though this is the middle of summer.
Yes.
And if something unnatural happened in this studio last night, having to do with defecation, and excuse me if I'm offending anyone or if I am shocking anyone, but that is what I'm sensing.
Well, that can interfere with your preservative process, and once you are spread figuratively on a piece of toast or cracker,
it obviously is going to taste and smell absolutely offensive and could cause a reaction, a regurgitation or vomiting, and the stink. And here we go back again to stink. Are you a stench? Are you a stink? Have you let it out? Now, the students that were in this studio last evening, I'm sensing defecating on each other. And again, this is very unusual for us to talk so brazenly and openly.
But this is Elcott. When we are seeking to find the Elcott level, especially, I'm speaking, ladies and gentlemen, to one of only three men who has ever attained the level of preservative, and one who is now moving toward the ultimate exaltation of being spread on toast or a cracker with butter. And people are laughing, and they're saying, oh, really? No, not literally, but almost literally, because you do feel yourself being a part of the toast.
Yes, and the toast is existence, and the spread, I'm spread. And we use the term preservative because I want people to understand that spreading means being spread on toast. In reality, I am being spread by two sub-priests for eventual union with the Elcott priesthood.
An awful lot to think about.
Yes, we've just even scratched the surface, though.
An awful lot to think about here on Elcott. And I'll tell you what, we're going to have to start all over again because I just heard what sounded to me like Bill Withers singing the song Lean On Me or Use Me Up or what that song was. All right, let's start all over again. Good morning and welcome to Elcott, The Next Step. I am Dr. Ed Elcott, and with me is Sugarman Davies, one of only three men who has achieved the level of preservative. He has been canned and jarred, placed on a shelf by an elderly woman in a suburb of some Iowa city, and has been preserved and canned and jarred and is ready to be spread on toast or a cracker. And when we say spread on toast or a cracker, we mean you'll be spread.
Yes, my both ankles will, and this isn't anything I'm even going to explain. Either you have respect for this process or you don't. One ankle will be pulled one way, the other the other way, by two sub-priests, and then the yeoman priest, after I've been spread, will then exultate and exuberate, to which point I then am good to be used as a breakfast spread. And by breakfast spread, we mean the beginning of the day.
We use an awful lot of metaphor and symbolism in Elcott, The Next Step, but the reason for this is very simple. It helps people grasp on an intellectual level that which is taking place submolecular. Well, as I said, there's so much to be a part of and to listen to and to learn here this morning on Elcott, The Next Step. We'll be right back. Very fascinating.
Yes, and I think that we'll...
This is El Comp the Next Step from Wampaw University, Wampaw, New York. For a transcript of today's program, write to Elcott, IR, care of Wampaw University, Wampaw, New York. Remember that reading materials can be had at the Elcott Lending Library and Wampaw Book Reclamation Center. Please send a self-addressed stamped envelope and name the publication you're most interested in.
Well, so much is going on here at Wampaw University today with the visiting of Sugarman Davies, who, as I said, is a preservative, one of only three. Who are the other two? Are we allowed to ask?
You are allowed to ask, but I am not allowed to tell you.
Okay, so their names are what?
Their names are Larry, Marilyn, and Sarah.
And why did you tell me even though you were not allowed to?
I told you a lie. That is what I did not tell you, so I lied to you.
All right, so those are not the people.
Oh, yes, they are the people, but I lied to you in the sense that you really don't know who they are. Those are the people, but what does that mean?
Right. In other words, I could say that I have a German Shepherd for a pet.
Yes, you could say your dog is a German Shepherd. Well, what does that tell me? Which one? There are millions. And is it really a German Shepherd, or is it a poodle?
Exactly. So I was allowed to ask. You were not allowed to tell. And so you told me something that is not true, but they are a part of this Elcott elevation that will be taking place here at our fourth annual elevation in just about 3 days.
Yes, and when we do meet those that have been preserved as I have been preserved, as preservatives in a jar with a label, and for instance, I'm an apricot preserve. When you meet finally Sarah, who is not Sarah, but is of a Sarah type, that is a human, possibly male, although most males you would not suspect are named Sarah. But that's part of the process of evaluating, of excavating, and eventually bringing to the eyes and to the ears and to the nose the smell, the sight, and the sound of a fully preserved monk of the Elcott Order.
This is very exciting. Now, we're going to try something today that we haven't done on previous programs. With me is Sugarman Davies. Always great to be with you, Sugarman. And just so you know, as Sugarman has pointed out to us earlier here in the program, Sugarman is on his way to Speculator, New York, this afternoon, where he's going to be water skiing with his family. And you're wearing your board shorts here right now, and I understand your daughter's with you.
Yes, my daughter, who has just celebrated her 8th birthday, so we're going to take her water skiing. Not out water skiing with the big folks.
Oh, goodness, no.
No, but she will get up on her small child skis, and we're excited to see her, because a sugar baby has been so profound in my life's journey. When she was born...
Now, her name is... She's Sugar Baby.
She is Sugar Baby. I'm Sugarman. I am married to Sugar Woman. She is Sugar Baby. And my wife is expecting Sugar Cube. The fetus is Sugar Cube. There is also Sugar Shack. And I want to get into that because that's an important part of the preservative process. When you become a preservative, whether it be apricot or strawberry, there is an apple preservative, which is a higher level of consciousness and existence. Sugar Shack was an individual that I shared sexual fluid with outside of my marital bond. I'm not proud of that.
Now, Sugar Shack is a generic term.
Sugar Shack is a generic term. Sugar ball, sugar shack, sugar baby is my daughter, but there's also sugar baby, B-A-B-Y. Sugar baby, B-A-B-I-E, is my daughter. Sugar baby is the is that which would infect the preservative. It is a slut. We'll give it an earth name. But here in Elcott, the next step, the sugar whore is simply known as Sugar Shack. There's a crazy little shack beyond the track, and that's where I go to my Sugar Shack. This was done by four Elcott, very primal Elcott prophets known as the Fireballs.
Tell me about the Fireballs.
The Fireballs are four fireballs that descended to Earth at some time around 50, 55 years ago. As the fireball entered Earth's atmosphere and diffused, the poetry of truth then became a part of the atmosphere, the air we breathe, and so forth. It was then, of course, that all hail Elcott, all hail Elcott.
All hail Elcott, all hail Elcott.
The Elcott was first infected. The first time that man had been infected for a good cause in the history of man on this planet. He was infected by that diffusion from the fireballs, who then sent into his mind and into his soul the poetry. There's a crazy little shack beyond the tracks, and everyone calls it the Sugar Shack. And Sugar Shack is what then freed the original Elcott from the whore that he lived with.
And that is the Sugar Shack?
That is the Sugar Shack, yes. Sugar Baby is my daughter, and let nothing touch the Sugar Baby.
All hail Elcott.
All hail Elcott.
Go to hell, Elcar.
Go to hell, Elcar. I are not take drugs no more.
What we're doing there, by the way, for people that are listening, this is a prayer. We are praying. We do pray in Elcott. And it's a prayer to, first of all, bless Sugar Baby, Sugarman's daughter. It also is a prayer to separate us from Elcar, which is the demon. And it's a prayer to acknowledge Elcott the original. Elcott the original, we can't speak of now because there's only a certain time in the week when you're allowed to speak of Elcott the original. When is that?
That will be at one of my lectures on Friday. I will be giving the Elcott the original lecture. We change up between either three preservatives or a north, south, east, or west. You are, for instance, an Elcott North, Dr. Elcott, so you can give your sermon on Elcott the original. A man by the name of Brewster Jennings, who was a ticket taker at a train station in Salt Lake City back in 1951, when he stepped on a cable that was feeding an enormous amount of electricity to some generators inside the main post office of Salt Lake, not post office, the train station in Salt Lake City. He was hit with an enormous amount of energy and electricity. Nothing happened. He kept walking, but he vibrated five different colors. When the fire department arrived and tried to put him on a gurney and tried to put him on a stretcher and hospitalize him.
Yes, so they perceived that he would need medical treatment.
That's exactly what they perceived. And he was walking over to get himself a cup of coffee or a donut. I think they, when they finally were able to contain and to refract the energy, he had a Hostess apple turnover.
Yes, this is important, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, in the preservative process. All of the priests that go through the preservative process do so as the result of the fact that Elcott was holding a Hostess hot apple pie and was biting into it, drinking a cup of coffee, and what else?
Looking at the sports page.
And looking at the sports page. So we have a actual copy of the Salt Lake City sports page he was reading. The Hostess hot apple pie does not exist any longer. It was incinerated as soon as it touched Elcott's hand.
And we found later that Elcott no longer needed food.
Now, what happened to the firemen that tried to put him on the gurney?
Those men eventually became imbued as well, and they became part of the founding council. He was transferred to a Salt Lake City hospital, where it was decided not to do anything other than wrap him in a foil substance, allow him to seep and to what's the word that I'm looking for?
Parboil, or
not parboil, but blanch at an even temperature. And then out of the foil he came as Elcott, with a slight tan, longer silver hair, and the whitest teeth, and an elegant walk, completely changed. His wife didn't know him. His children were actually frightened, and his dog, which begins our journey, as I mentioned, with domestic animal. I'm going to be getting into, do we have time to get into the two basic life forms?
Oh, we do. We've got an entire couple of segments to go.
All right. His dog went mad. When the dog looked at Elcott, it barked once and then ran into traffic, and that was, unfortunately, the end.
Now, there was a belief early on in the faiths, among the faith's progenitors and the founding council, that Elcott directed the dog to its death.
Not true. Not true. The dog simply recognized that it had lived long enough as a dog. Seeing what it had just seen, it was time to move on and to reincarnate, possibly as a human. And so the dog saw Elcott, saw the four vibrations, looked at Elcott, and in its dog mind said, "Now, now, now.
All hail Elcott.
All hail Elcott." And the dog turned to its left, looked back right, barked once, and ran directly into the path of a Vaughn's supermarket, you know, an 18-wheeler.
It was the what?
It was, I believe it was an 18-wheeler Vaughn's supermarket produce.
It's a very interesting world, isn't it? And it's an interesting world because there is so much that goes into making the man and the woman. And there is so much that goes into finding the truth. In a moment, the two prime life forces, you are either one or the other. It is an organic that one cannot be without. And we'll talk about it in a moment here on Elcott the Next Step. I am Dr. Ed Elcott, and with me here is Sugarman Davies, a friend of mine for many years, who attained the level of Elcott preservative, an apricot spread.
Yes, and again, I am only spread on either toast or wheat or rye or wheat crackers. I don't want anyone thinking that I'm something that you stick a spoon into and suck off a spoon.
Nothing like that. And we're speaking in the literal sense, even though obviously sitting in front of me is a man in a Cabo San Lucas t-shirt with zinc oxide on his nose, flip-flops, and board shorts. And what is your baseball cap there?
Detroit Tigers.
Detroit Tigers. You would not guess that this is a man, an Elcott preserve, who has been canned and jarred, put up for the winter by an old lady who lives somewhere in Iowa. In our minds. We'll be right back here on Elcott the Next Step.
Elcott the Next Step is produced by the University of Wampaw in Wampaw, New York. For a transcript, please write Elcott the Next Step, Wampaw, New York. One engages in prayer so that the mail can arrive at the right address. We only gave you part of the address, and we ask you to engage in Elcott prayer.
All hail Elcott.
All hail Elcott.
So that your mail reaches us, and we don't have to go down to the post office and threaten people.
All hail Elcott.
All hail Elcott.
All hail Elcott.
All hail Elcott.
I are not take drugs no more.
I are not take drugs no more.
Elcott, the next step, can be a part of your life. Join the Elcott the Next Step Retreat for Men. It starts on August 17th at the Wampaw University Retreat Center. You can join it with other men and other women in an Elcott retreat. We say it's only for men. The women show up, and then we watch what happens. If you'd like a film of it, we can certainly deliver that to your home as well. If your wife is home, please let us know, so that we will drop it off in a secured package down the street. The Elcott the Next Step Retreat will be August 17th at the Wampaw University Retreat Center. Tickets are available for couples, groups, or individuals by writing to Elcott The Next Step Retreat, Attention Paula, Wampaw University, New York. Well, that's exciting. I always look forward to our retreats.
I do too.
They're so enlightening, and we meet so many interesting people. This is Dr. Ed Elcott, Elcott North. With me is one of only three members of our priesthood who have attained the level of a preservative, one who has attained the level of something that gets spread on a cracker or on a bun. And we do qualify the term bun. We don't mean bun as in a fattening roll, but we do mean bun as in something more human than food, the bun being erotic, but also nutritious. And how many of us in our lives have stared at a bun, if you will, a buttock, and wanted to bite it? I have. I know that Elcott, the preservative, sitting next to me, has not, because he's an apricot preserve.
Well, it's a level. It's a level that you do attain, and I don't have to speak in such gross abnormalities. In Elcott, as you know, Dr. Elcott, we have the five ways to the gigantic abnormality.
Absolutely. We dealt with those last week.
Right. And we have the four miracles, being bullets bouncing off your chest, the ability to fly, X-ray vision, and invisibility. Now we have the two primal life forces. In Elcott, we believe in the innocence of animal. And one of those primal life force animals is the squirrel. The squirrel is innocent, it is industrious, it is energetic, it is curious. It embodies many very positive traits that are needed to join with nature and nature's life force and bypass the gross molecular. Elcott, the preservative, which is what I am, and I'm very proud of the fact that I am a preservative. I'm fruit in a jar, and it doesn't matter to me if someone walks by and says, look at the fruit in the jar, and they make a joke out of it, because becoming a fruit in a jar that's spreadable is an exaltation.
And people should understand, when we say exaltation in Elcott, we mean mental and spiritual elevation well beyond that of anyone that would make such crude reference.
Yes, and I am not putting down, it's an obvious joke, there is a fruit in a jar and he gets spread. But we are adamant in Elcott that term and those terms were purposely put there by Elcott the founder to, again, diminish ego.
You see, this idea of diminishing ego informs Elcott at every level. So the squirrel, and then the other life force is?
The other life force is the pygmy, pig, or the small Vietnamese pork belly, what's it called? A pot belly pig, excuse me. So you can go whole hog, or you can go pork pig, or go pot pig, or go squirrel. When I was beginning my initial stages and my initial steps into the priesthood, and it was something that I had to really think about very, very hard and fast, I thought, I will no longer know my wife as Shirley. She will become Sugar Woman. And my daughter, Crystal, would become Tammy was originally my daughter's name. And then the movie came out, and I thought it reflected badly on my daughter, because the film is about an overweight, white trash, using that term, woman, a very fat white trash sow. And of course, I did not want my daughter to be linked to that. So she became Sugar Baby before I even attained full preservative status. Now we have the two life forces. So I decided to go full potbelly pig. I went full pot pig, and I became a small ovine grunting thing. I could have gone squirrel, but in going squirrel, you go rodent. And when you go rodent, you go road. And going road
is it's a term in the military. I can't define it right now, and I wouldn't want to.
Well, it's being it going road means retirement on retirement on duty, I think is what it is.
That is right. Retiring on active duty. That's a disgraceful thing. And yet, that is something that you inhabit and become a full-fleshed, fleshed-out preservative in a jar, spread on crackers, when you become road. You've gone squirrel and you've gone road.
Yeah, retirement on active duty is gone road, a military term, but in Elcott, it means that you've gone squirrel, and there's no coming back from that.
Well, you don't want to come back from squirrel any more than you want to come back from a pot pig. So going squirrel and going pot pig were the beginning stages. And it's so irritating to talk about those times because I was dealing with becoming an apricot preservative. I had to learn all of the manumission of going road. I had to learn the manumission of going pot pig. I had to make my decision. I had to find the vestments. My wife had to sew my undergarment. My wife, she also had to put together, of course, the priesthood. All of us wear hoods in the Elcott priesthood. We never go anywhere without our hoods. And today, of course, a vacation day, I'm going with my family to the lake, so I will not be wearing my hood. But on demand, on duty, we must be wearing the Elcott priesthood. Priesthood.
Now, the priesthood covers your face. Why?
Because we want to always be reminded of how ugly we really are. And you can look at me. I'm no, as we like to say, I'm no bargain.
No, you're not. No, you're not at all. You are pretty, you're not scary. You're just real ugly. But that is part of the leveling out of the ego.
Yes. Eventually my ego will be, if you call me ugly enough, I won't have any ego left. Most people would be suicidal. I will be free to then be full squirrel or full pot pig. Now, I've chosen pot pig. I made the mistake, but I have to live with it.
Why do you say that's a mistake?
I felt it was a mistake for me because I didn't want to go through my initial steps into Elcott, the next step. I didn't want to go into my initial awareness steps as a grunting ovine, as something in mud and dung. I wanted to be instead a tree climber, and it was too late. I hadn't gone squirreled.
Well, I can tell you, I've known some who've decided to take to go road, retire on active duty, and go up a tree like a squirrel. And some are happy and some aren't. But that's Elcott. Elcott gives you the choice to go squirrel, go squirrel, or let no one come back alive, which is the third option.
Yeah, well, let no one come back alive means that you've gone pig or squirrel, and no one's going to talk you out of it. And even if you are miserable, absolutely miserable, and one or two of the preservative priests come to you and offer you the status of something in apple syrup, you turn that down. You turn that down because you're going pig.
You are, aren't you?
Yes, you're going bad. And that's what I've chosen. So sugar baby, sugar mama, me, sugarman, and even Ethel, that was her earth name, Sugar Shack. Ethel is a member of the, she's a member of the Elcott nunhood.
Uh-huh.
And she's a sugar shack. So the other nuns have to walk several feet away from her and downwind.
I understand. I understand. I think I understand.
There's an awful lot to remember.
There certainly is. Let's take a break here on Elcott, the Next Step. I am Dr. Ed Elcott North. With me is Sugarman Davies. Always great to have Sugarman here as we talk about Elcott, the Next Step. You're listening to Elcott, the Next Step podcast, a part of The Phil Hendry Show. If you'd like to know more about Elcott, the Next Step, like to know more about how Elcott is constituted, where we meet, where we downplay, and eventually where we shapeshift, please come to our Elcott Orientation Lecture, a series of three at Wampaw University, and an extension class at Wampaw University, Buffalo.
Learn more about Elcott. Write to Elcott The Next Step in care of Paula, Wampaw University Extension, Buffalo, New York. Well, this is Dr. Ed Elcott, and I am talking here with our good friend Sugarman Davies, a member of the Elcott preservative family. He is an apricot preserve that is spread on toast with butter and then is eaten by who? This is very key.
Yes, then I am eaten by the lowest possible thing there can be. It could be a rat, it could be a human, but again, diminishing the ego is, but I am eaten. Every year I'm consumed at a breakfast table of slobs. Really, we prefer human, but they can be animal. Any family of animals that eat together, and I don't know if I haven't studied it, and I should, but it's something that is not demanded of Elcott preservatives. But any human family that eats together and eat like pigs, like utter slobs, and I know that you do in your family, don't you, Dr. Elcott North?
Yes, we do. This gets us to ego. We always love to end our series.
Ego is, the diminishing of ego is so important.
It really is. We always love to end it on ego. Yes, to answer your question, I live in a despicable tenement. I have a slum lord, and last year alone, I think three children were killed falling through open boards in the floor, six flights down, dead. This is the kind of hellhole I live in, and yet I don't just walk out of there every day to my lecture series at Wampaw University. I float out of there as part of my elevation. And when I get together with my family in the morning to eat breakfast, we eat like unrestrained and unreconstructed slobs and pigs, food going down our fronts, all over our shirts, dropping on the floor, people wiping the preservatives and butter on toast with their fingers, which I know is really a goal of yours.
I would consider it an honor if you would have me to a breakfast at your home.
Oh, now this is very special. Hold on for a minute. I want people to know this.
Thank you.
Sugarman is now asking to be spread on toast at my home during one of our breakfasts.
I would like to be spread on a piece of toast with butter by your obese, disgusting wife at a breakfast of your choosing.
This will then conclude the preservative process, and you will be elevated.
I will.
Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you very, very much.
And that will take place in my home.
If you will so choose, condemn Elcar, condemn Elcar.
Go to hell, Elcar.
If you will so choose.
I do now acknowledge you as fruit in a jar.
Thank you.
I don't know what to say. I'm absolutely floored. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Well, I had talked earlier.
He talked to me. Timmy, come on in here. This is Timmy Winston, who's our engineer. He's a student here. Timmy, did you know this?
I did. He talked to me and said he'd like to ask you. And I said, as long as we can do it before 10, because the women's polo team is having a game and I know we're going to cut to the field.
All right. Thank you, Timmy.
And, my friend, we will be at your home, myself, Sugar Woman, Sugar Baby, Sugar Shack, and the Double Mint Twins.
Oh, the Double Mint Twins.
Yes. And we'll also, of course, be bringing the fireballs, not in the physicality of the fireballs. There's no such, the fireballs themselves are dead. Long dead, and thank God for that, to be honest with you, because no one really wants to see them around anymore. But we will be bringing the fireball message. There's a crazy little shack beyond the track, my sugar shack.
It's amazing, and I'm just absolutely flabbergasted that, and I'm so honored that you would ask to be spread on toast at my home by my wife, who is already well over 270 pounds, well on her way. In fact, we just bought one of those oxygen converting machines because she's well on her way to not getting out of bed at all.
That's exactly what I've been hearing, and I know that, and forgive me for saying this, but and I don't think I'm talking out of school, but your daughter, Sugar Baby, had said to me, that sugar woman, because in our religion, ladies and gentlemen, we don't refer to mommy or daddy. We say it's either a sugar woman, a sugarman, or them, they, the consort, the Elcott consort, male, female.
Yes. These are all very technical terms.
Right. But she said that that sugar woman was having a very difficult time breathing coming down the stairs to eat the flapjack tower. And I knew then that once she had towered the flapjacks with hot butter and so forth.
Yes, that was the beginning steps of an oxygen deprivation, and you knew that it was time for her to begin to spread things with her fingers on anything that she could spread it on. Toast?
Yes, toast, on a hot dog bun, on a, I don't know, on a tortilla. You could imagine how disgusting it would be to actually spread something on a corn tortilla like apricot preserve. And yet that's exactly what your wife did. Not your wife, but yes, your wife.
Yes, my wife. I'll tell you why we are having a moment of hesitation here. I've got a little something that I want you to hear. I hope that it's as good for you as it is for us. And this is our gift to you, Sugarman Davies, for being with us here on our program today. And God bless you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, there's a crazy little shack beyond the tracks. Huh?
Oh, my God.
And everybody calls it the Sugar Shack.
Sugarman, this is for you from Ethel, the Sugar Shack.
It's just a coffee house and it's made out of wood. Espresso coffee tastes mighty good. That's not the reason why I've got to get back.
You have an erection?
I do. I do. And there's nothing wrong with me saying that I have an erection. In our religion, I'm acknowledging Sugar Shack. While I love Sugar Woman, Sugar Shack, I don't love Sugar Shack, but I've got a heart on.
Leotards and her feet are bare. I'm going to drink a lot of coffee.
Goddamn, man.
Spend a little cash.
Well, thank you very much. On behalf of the Phil Henry podcast and his crew, this is Elcott North, Dr. Ed Elcott North, saying so long from Wampaw University and today's Elcott, the next step.
Just me and her, yes.